A reading from the Gospel.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Father, rest my soul, rest my mind. Give me peace, God, give me wisdom. These are your people. They're special, they're vital, and loved by you. I ask that you word my mouth, my actions be according to your will, and that we receive from you the blessing that you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray, and I thank you, Lord. Amen. Let me get my timers and everything set, because as Pastor Kevin said, I was a pastor, used to preach every week, haven't done it in a while, and so there's a lot up in me. So there is a time limit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God's reckless love for humanity. I have a big mouth, so you may have to turn that way down. Hallelujah. God's reckless love for humanity. We see in the scriptures that God has made promises. And I'm going to read this scripture in Genesis 29. God's promise. And he's confirming this promise to Jacob that he made with Abraham and Isaac. In the scripture, Genesis 29, 16 through 20, we read, now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were lovely, and Rachel was graceful and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. God's reckless love for humanity. We see that the start of God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is taking hold here. Jacob has two wives, and those wives will birth the nation that God said will be as the dust of the earth. Saints, you are part of that promise. You are an heir. You are children, are a child of the kingdom of God. Reading the scriptures this week, I found some of them amusing, and some amazed me. One is that Jacob, we know as the deceiver, got deceived. And we read about the passages, and we see how all this stuff is going on, and all this let's use the word trickery has taken place. It's not necessarily good. It's messy. But the point that we should recognize is that in the midst of all of this that's taking place, in the midst of all the messiness, in the midst of all the deceit and drama, it does not prohibit God from doing what he needs to do. It doesn't stop God from handling his business, as we say. God utilizes all of this for his purposes, and it all works for the good. This is the kind of God we serve. This is the God we have as our God. We should trust and believe that God loves us. Also noticed in the story of Jacob, the interesting part in verse 20, where it says, Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. 7 years is a long time. Not 7 days, 7 hours, 7 weeks, 7 years. Served 7 years for that girl, for that woman. Hey, if I go there, forgive me. I haven't done this in a while. 7 years. But it says that they seemed to him but a few days. Why? How could 7 years seem as a few days? It says because he loved her. He loved her. And I see amazing parallel to God in this. Regarding Jacob's toil and labor, it didn't seem as labor, didn't seem as hard work, it didn't seem like a sacrifice, because he loved Rachel. Likewise, God's love for us is so vast that to us it seems like it's not real. It seems like it's something that we don't deserve, that we find hard to accept, so much so we feel we gotta work for it. We gotta earn it. We gotta be worthy of it. But that's not the case. God just wants us to accept his love because he gives it freely and abundantly. God's reckless love for humanity. I want to read this passage of scripture, and I know it's redundant, but I need to read this because I want you to hear the word of God. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes with sighs so deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things, I repeat, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. The word of God is powerful. I don't think we understand that. I don't think we grasp that all the way, because every time I read this, it's like when I was assigned this passage of scripture, I'm like, really, God? Really? Really? I'm supposed to calmly stand up here and preach this sermon, really? When I want to shout. Hallelujah. Really? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. To us, it seems demanding when you really think about it. He's demanding and expecting a lot from me. Something has to be required for all of this. Because as Robin said last week, Pastor Robin preached and said, it's not fair. God's love is not fair. The interesting thing about this is that God does not see it that way. Just as Jacob didn't see his 7 years for his toil and labor for Leah as a long time or difficult or something he couldn't bear, God does not see this as being unfair. I'm not playing with my phone. Trust me. I need to have this timer showing at all times. Hallelujah. God's Yes, Lord. God's love is not fair. The interesting thing is he don't see it that way, and it's not that way. God loves us so much. He lavishly displays his love, and he pours it on us freely and undeservedly. One can say that God's love is reckless towards humanity. From a worldly perspective, we would say, hey, God, I got something I need to share with you, because this is kind of harmful love. This is love that is not good. This is reckless love. You need to find something else to love, because these people messed up. They don't love you like you love them. And so we have that mentality that God operates like this, like we operate. But that's not the case. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And he understands that humanity does not deserve his love. So please grasp this. If you hear anything else that I've said this morning, please hear me when I say God recklessly love you. And I'm going to keep repeating that, by the way. You're going to go home. God recklessly loves me. God recklessly loves you and has removed all stops to ensure that you make it into his kingdom and that you have an abundant life in him. I want you to point to your neighbor, the person next to you, on the side of you, or in front of you. Point to them. I'm giving you permission to point. I want you to point to your neighbor and I want you to say, you are loved by God. Now, point to yourself. And I want you to repeat this. I am loved by God. In the grand scheme of it all, because he loves you so much, all things work together for the good of them that love God. And you will make it. You will succeed. You will finish the race. Because God will complete it himself personally. Because he loves you. The work that he has started within you, he will bring to completion. It is a good work. It is a perfect work. Let me explain to you. It may not finish the way you thought it should finish. You may have to crawl to the finish line. You may have to limp to the finish line. You may even have to hop to the finish line. Some of you may walk, some run. But listen to me, you will make it to the finish line.
You will overcome, and it is because of God. God's love for you, his unfailing love for you. God loving us in hard times. The scripture says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. As a young man, I was like, what does that scripture mean? If I'm going through something, I know how to pray. I know what to ask for. I know what I need. But as an old man, hallelujah, there's sometimes it's getting so tough that all I can say is, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. How many of you been there? I don't know if this is what I should pray for, or should I pray for this? Should I pray for healing? Should I pray for death? Should I pray for this? Should I pray for that? What should I pray for? The word says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should or we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, we know God searches man. He knows everything about us. I said man, but humanity. Women, men, children, boys, girls. He searches our hearts, and he knows everything about us. That's another point to shout. God know, you know about that? Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. He knows everything about us. And he searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I want you to understand. Groaning, the whole creation in the previous verses is groaning for the adoption, which is the redemption of our souls to God. The Roman believers are going through a lot of stuff, and they're about to go through even more. And sometime when you're going through trouble and going through strife and going through, hell, it seems like no one loves you and no one cares and everyone is ignoring you. Maybe I should say, sometime I feel that I'm going through so much stuff, and no one even cares about what I'm going through. No one even asks me really how I'm doing, because when I do tell them how I'm doing, they done walked away already. Or they change the subject. Saints of God, let me tell you something. When we don't even know how we should pray or what we should even do, God is praying for us. God is interceding. The Holy Spirit is talking and, how can I say, invading. God is going through what we need and how we need to succeed and what we need to succeed and what we need and what we really need. And they talking to each other, having a conversation we can't even understand. We don't even know what's going on. But what we do know is that in the end, we win. In spite of circumstances, in spite of sickness, in spite of riches, our poor wealth, in spite of, God works it out. These Romans were about to get hit with something that mankind had never even seen before, the harshness and the brutality. And God, through Paul, is speaking to them. Don't give up. Don't stop, because These things does not dictate your status with God. Please understand this. Sickness, death, health, wealth, all that stuff does not dictate your status with God. We get this in our society. We think when things are going bad, God's punishing me. I didn't done something. Lord, forgive me. Oh, forgive me. And if it continues, like, he didn't forgive me. Or I'm not good enough. No, 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 no. That's a fallacy. The reality is those things does not dictate how God feel about you. In this life, we're going to go through some stuff. We're going to go through hard times. But understand, God is with you, and he's for you and not against you. He recklessly loves you. Recklessly love you. So I want you to hear that. He's for you and not against you. Because of this, you are not a victim, but you are a victor. You are a victor, and you are more than what you see or feel. You are a conqueror, regardless of your status, your present circumstances, in spite of your plight that you're going through in life, regardless of your financial status, regardless of your gender, regardless of your race. God is with you because he loves you. The Spirit of God assists us, and he's there with us, even when we can't even speak the words. God answers our prayers, and he's with us. This song that I once sung at my funeral, and my kids and my wife tell me, stop talking about that. But at my funeral, this song by Hezekiah, and the song says, he says in the songs, in the song he says, that he's been sick for so long, and he has been down for so long, but he is hoping and trusting in God. And then he says, Jesus stepped in, and he knows, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he knows he will make it anyhow. He will make it anyhow. He continues to say, in your trouble, in your pain, you can believe it. You will be all right. You will make it anyhow because Jesus stepped in. It finishes when it says, when you are called, everything will be all right. And you will make it anyhow. This anyhow reference is referencing that we're trusting and believing in God. We're trusting and believing in God for healing, for deliverance. While we're struggling with our messiness and all this stuff that's going on. But it really doesn't matter because it's not going to stop me from being who I am in God. I'm going to make it anyhow because I am God's heir. And God has promised that he will step in and make it all right. I may die. It's all right. I may get healed. It's all right. I may get the finances and the stuff I need. It's all right. I will make it anyhow. God's promise is unfailing. And this is what it's telling us. We will make it because we're the call of God. God is working it out. And I'm wrapping this up. God is working it out. In the 28th verse, this is what Paul is telling us. All things will work together for the good. All of us who all of us who call on the name of Jesus shall be saved. God loves us with an unfailing love that delivers us in the final day. We love God, and we love him, but God loved us first. And not only did he love us, he demonstrated this love toward us. And while we were yet in our messiness, in our sins, Christ was sent to die for us. And this demonstrates God's love for us. And while we were hopelessly lost, God produced and gave his son to die for our sins. If God would do that, why wouldn't he finish? Would you give your most valuable prize and then walk away? God's much smarter than I am. Much smarter than you. If I see I can't win, I ain't giving you nothing. I'm walking away. But God gave his son. So how much more will he give? God is finishing the work that he started in you, and he will finish. He will pay your debt, and it has been paid. And I love the passage as it says we're called, and then he says it's justified. By the way, justified, not guilty. Not guilty. And if God declares me not guilty, guess what? I'm not guilty. You can say I'm guilty. You can say I'm filthy. You can say whatever you want. I'm not guilty. Because God has declared me not guilty. The verdict has been stated. Remember these points. God's reckless love for humanity. And then I'm going to sit down. Because of God's love for us, God has promised, and it is true, he will personally make his promises a reality in our lives. He will not leave us. He is praying for us. He is working all things out for our good. Point number two, there is no obstacle. No obstacle that can separate you, separate me, separate us from God's love. Sickness or death, people, hard times, trouble, trials, struggles, tribulation, nothing. Point number three, God's personal involvement in our lives guarantees our victory. Guarantee our victory. Guarantees our victory. His personal involvement in our lives guarantee our victory. So here's my questions to you. As you've seen me up here moving around and limping and hopping and all that stuff, with all that's been said to you, God recklessly loves us. What will you say and do? With all that's been said to you, what will you believe about the promises of God when we face hard times? When you're going through your trouble, your turmoil, your sickness, your heartache, etc., what are you going to believe? How will you act when it seems the world is against you, even your own family? How will you act? Let me give you a hint. Praise God anyway. And I'm not talking about no, it's not really there, it's not really there, it's not really there, it's not really there thoughts. No, it's there. It's tearing you to pieces. It's spanking your behind. You're going through it. It's a reality. But the other reality is God's real. And God is all present, and he's there. So let me give you a hint. Praise him anyhow. There's sometimes I've come in this church, and, oh, man. Y'all just don't know. It just seems like everything's been kicking me and stomping me. And sometime I've been through these ordeals, and I come in here, and I'm like, oh, Lord, help me, Lord. And then I start praising God. I start praising God, and guess what I'm not thinking about? That stuff that I just went through. It's there, but I'm praising God. And there are times while I'm praising God, he gives me a word, and when I get off, I'm just walking right over that stuff. Anyhow, thank you, Lord. He empowers us through our prayers. And I know someone has said this, but I really do think transformation comes through praise and the gratitude from praise. That gratitude that you have empowers you to help me, Lord. Anyhow. What? So what? I mean, hallelujah. I need to stop. Okay. Will you yet praise him in spite of circumstances of this life? Will you yet shout the victory? I am victorious. In spite of, God loves me. In spite of. And I'm not talking that pie in the sky and the by and by stuff. I'm talking about right here on earth. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. And finally, because of the cross, Marina, we're more than conquerors because of God's reckless love. God bless you. And you can rest assured that God will keep you.